while I don't want to leave us on a complete downer, I do want to talk about a report that was published last week by the International Union for Conservation of Nature, which identified Australia as one of seven countries responsible for more than half of the global biodiversity loss. In fact, the report ranked Australia as the second worst country in the world for biodiversity loss, just behind Indonesia. And this is, of course, based on the number of native species which have had their status changed from stable to threatened, vulnerable, or endangered since 1996. We also learnt recently that we're in the midst of what scientists are describing as a global insect ecosystem collapse, with insect abundance falling by as much as 75% in the last 27 years. What is causing this? Now, Professor Leslie Hughes is from the Climate Change Ecology Group at Macquarie University and also a counsellor from the Climate Council. Professor, a good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, these rates of biodiversity loss in Australia, I'm going to sound naive, but they are disturbing to me. Are we in the midst of what some people are describing as a sixth mass extinction event?
Well, the evidence certainly points that way, and Australia has a particularly terrible record for biodiversity loss. In fact, if you look just at mammal extinctions, we have the highest rate of mammal extinctions of any continent in the world. But we're not doing so well on all the other types of biodiversity either.
What's driving those rates in Australia?
Well, it's a combination of factors. Probably the most important thing in Australia is habitat loss due to land clearing. We've had an awful lot of land clearing, mainly for agriculture and also some for urban development since European settlement. And the really sad thing is that, unfortunately, those rates of land clearing in some parts of Australia, notably Queensland, have accelerated in the last couple of years. So we're really not on top of the problem. But also introduced feral species like foxes and cats in particular have been responsible, we think, for many of the vertebrate extinctions.
Are we seeing the impact of this sort of biodiversity loss on society and even agriculture at the moment?
Yes, well, it's symptomatic of our lack of care for our environment, which after all is our life support system. Without a healthy environment, we don't have anything to live on. So while agriculture certainly has been a driver of biodiversity loss, agriculture also benefits from having healthy soils, healthy air, healthy waterways, and healthy native vegetation. So the two things go hand in hand.
What role is climate change playing on reducing biodiversity, I mean, globally but also in Australia?
Well, globally, climate change is really just getting started on contributing to biodiversity loss. At the moment, I think habitat loss is still the main driver globally and in Australia. But it looks like climate change could overtake habitat loss as a significant driver. And we can look no further than what's happened on the Great Barrier Reef in the last couple of years. So the Great Barrier Reef is, you know, one of the most precious natural icons in the world. It is a storehouse of biodiversity. Last year it had the most catastrophic bleaching on record, which continued on into this year. So we've had two consecutive years of bleaching, with over 90% of individual reefs affected, and the current estimates are that we've had a 50% loss of coral just in the last couple of years. So, and of course, once we lose the coral, which provides the habitat of everything else, we lose lots of other species as well.
On this insect extinction data, I mean, 75% in the last 27 years, how much more can a global ecosystem take? I mean, they're integral, I would have thought.
Well, that's a very good question, and we don't know the answer to that. We talk a lot about tipping points, which are points of sort of no return, you know, like leaning out of a kayak, and once you get past a certain angle, you flip over. And for most natural systems and physical systems, we don't know what those tipping points are. We know we're getting closer to them, but we don't know exactly how close we are to the edge of that cliff. So The situation in Germany or Europe in general, which is where that 75% figure came from, that was of flying insects collected in German nature reserves over the last few decades in standardised ways. I think it's probably, the paper didn't actually come to a conclusion as to what was the main driver of that, but it's likely to be a combination of factors, including the widespread use of pesticides in agriculture, because of course pesticides are often pretty indiscriminate as to what they kill, so they're killing bad bugs as well as good bugs.
Professor, a big question and maybe not a very easy one to answer, but what really needs to be done? I mean, does investment in conservation help? Do we need to completely overhaul our economic philosophies? Do we need to tear down the system and start again?
Well, probably all of those things, but spending more would be a good start. And in fact, the really positive thing, I think, that came out of the IUCN paper that you mentioned first is that there's what that paper showed, really for the first time, is that there's a very strong correlation between how much a country spends on in their environmental protection and how well they protect species. So the least amount you spend, the more species you lose on a yearly basis. Now, Australia currently spends about $2.5 billion on environment, however you want to define that. And that's only 1.5% or roughly of our GDP. That is not a very big figure to be looking after the place that we live. So the positive thing, if there is anything to take from that paper, is that you can get results by spending more money. And I think that does offer a way forward.
Professor, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Mick.
Professor Leslie Hughes there from the Climate Change Ecology Group at Macquarie University and also, of course, the Climate Council. Some rather humbling insights there.